you start with funding numbers? Usually you're highly talked about number in the industry, not just in Canada, but globally. So last year, the Canada headquartered fintechs raised a total of $1.5 billion. A bit of a rise from last year. Last year it was $1 billion. But it's not even close to what it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we were at sitting at $3 billion fintech funding in Canada. So obviously, a lot of factors, as you know, at macroeconomic level that have been impacting this. But I think the ecosystem is still strong. A good mix of fintechs, as you see here. And even in terms of rounds, we did see later stage rounds, early seed rounds as well. So a good diversification amongst these 65 companies that raised the money. And also good sectoral distribution. A big factor this year, I think, which was a change from many past years, is that payments was grown by blockchain and crypto sectors. Crypto and blockchain was the biggest funding sector this year. Again, a lot of factors there, but I think the way the blockchain is kind of coming up in the mainstream big financial services and the DeFi space overall is the leading factor here. We have a lot of mining players in Canada that are raising money. But then payment sector just followed with that. A lot of key players like Helsin, Jobber, Trolley raised some later stage rounds. AI and data, not a surprise there. A lot of funding there as well. Challenger banks, I'm going to talk a lot about challenger banks today. So I'll keep reserve that, the comments for later. But otherwise, too, a good diversification would be prop tech, lentech, insurance, and other smaller sectors as well. Talking about the partnerships, so we saw over 40 partnerships being announced. And these are the partnerships between financial institutions and strictly fintechs. There were many other that are adjacent. So I think banks and credit unions and rest of the ecosystem is no longer just partnering with the fintechs. We're seeing health techs, education techs, legal techs enter the space in a big way as well. But even within this group, you'll see a great diversification, open banking solutions, online wills, digitization generally, a lot of still the digital automation solutions or core banking solutions, specifically for the credit union and the smaller FI space, that we're seeing increased traction in terms of partnership. Okay, so what's happening in payments? What's happening in fintech, wealth tech? There are a few key takeaways. So as I said, you'll have this presentation. So I'm just going to touch on the big ones here. I think one of the big ones under payments is earned wage access is gaining traction. And if by now, I guess everybody knows about this space. But if you don't, these are companies that help you offer your employees the income the moment it's earned. So it's basically the amount transferred to their account right after they complete a shift. For Uber driver, they get the money right after they've completed a ride or right after they've dropped a package. And this is a trend that has been happening for a couple of years in US, not majorly in Canada, but I guess this year we are seeing more traction here. One of the major companies that was actually headquartered in Canada, Zayzoon, but they were working heavily in south of the border. They just came back to Canada and have reintroduced their services here. Scotiabank has also partnered with them. TD has been working with a similar player called Daily Pay for a couple of years now. And then Uber has partnered with Payfair, which, by the way, just got acquired by Fiserv. So kind of, again, talks about the increased traction and interest in earned wage access product. But $201 million deal acquisition of Fiserv, by Fiserv of Payfair. And then a huge rise in cross-border payments. There are a couple of factors there. I think for the retail payment side, it's definitely the newcomers. We have had a lot of newcomers come in the country over the last few years. And a lot of remittance apps that have launched to enable these newcomers to send and receive money from their home countries. But then also the B2B payments in terms of cross-border payments. I think during the pandemic period, we've seen a lot of small businesses go global, which means they now have teams globally, they're selling globally, they are hiring developers and other service providers globally, and hence need a way to manage multi-currency in a more efficient way. So we've had a lot of multi-currency account providers that have launched in the country. I have a sort of exhaustive list on the next page. But one big player, a giant based out of Australia called Airwallex, they launched in Canada about 2 years ago, recently launched a borderless Visa card here for the Canadian businesses. Very, very interesting product. Highly recommend looking at them if you're in the cross-border or remittance space. Navro, another big player from UK, just made an entry, and that's also for business payments. Beacon, interesting product. They are building a super app for immigrants in Canada. And then a lot of US paydex have been entering Canada and expanding here. Over the past couple of years, I think we started seeing this trend, but over last year and last few months specifically, a lot of traction in terms of the attractiveness of Canada for global fintechs. And there are many factors, again, for why that's happening. But I think one of the reasons is, again, newcomers. People who are coming from different countries, specifically Asia, Europe, who are used to digital payments experiences or open banking. They are pushing the dialogue forward here and making the banks, the bigger institutions, to actually bring some of those solutions here as well. And I'm going to talk about some of these super apps and big ecosystem players as well today. So these are all the cross-border solutions that are out there for newcomers for retail payments, and some of them are also operating in the business payment space as well. But these are all the challengers, the SME challengers that are offering multi-currency accounts. This is also a huge trend right now. Most of these companies, I like to call them pandemic babies, because we did not have SME challenger banks in Canada before the pandemic. Most of these were either launched in Canada or they came from other countries into Canada during the pandemic. And the most pet product for these companies are multi-currency accounts attached to a prepaid card that the small businesses can use for their expense management. Huge kind of traction around this space as well. A lot of new product innovations on top of the deposit accounts that these companies have built. They are building voicing solutions, payment processing and whatnot. So a lot of distraction and market activity here. Talking about the challenger banking trends, the three major challenger banks in Canada, Wealthsimple, BMO, made quite a few announcements over the past year, raised some funding. Kobo is making progress in terms of its Canadian banking license. Wealthsimple just acquired this US-based company called Plenty, which enables them to strengthen their family. Focused offerings. It's basically a company that focuses on joint accounts for families. But then lots of other traction as well. Kobo partnering with Canada Post to enable them to launch their My Money account. Loop Financial launched a product which is being sponsored by IQBank, which, by the way, is doing great in terms of their BaaS or BIN sponsorship business. One of the big tens who are out there were actually talking and claiming openly that they are playing in banking as a service. None of the other Big Ten have done that yet. But overall, as you can see, some of the BaaS players like Syncare, a new one called Episode 6, their E6, that are launching in Canada to enable fintechs, other brands to launch their card products and deposit accounts. We can see a trend here where it's not just challenger banks, but also full-fledged banks with license launching in the country. And what about that exist in the market? I think they're doing everything they can to ensure they have a full product suite so that the initial traction or over the years, the customers they have gained, they retain them in a big way. As you'll see, there are a lot of partnership products out there that these challengers are offering. Kobo has just started to offer lines of credit. They're getting into lending. Wealthsimple has gotten into mortgage in partnership with Pine, and Neo has been always pro in terms of partnerships. They work with OneWest to offer their wealth management product. Walmart is offering, enabling their insurance product. And so quite a bit of traction. But the last straw here, which is banking as a service, I think that's interesting too. Kobo has been out in the market with their BaaS or white labeled product. I just talked about Canada Post that they have. Neo has been, again, out there with Hudson Bay Card, for example, and they have been working with many other big players since then. And EQ Bank as well, very much on their sponsorship journey. Coming to lending, I think two major mergers this year, HomeTrust and Fairstone, you know, the leading alternative lender in Canada. And then in mortgage space, Nesto acquiring CMLS, that also makes it the largest digital mortgage ecosystem in the country. But apart from that, a takeaway on this slide, I think, is these players, new entrants from US, UK, Europe. These are embedded lending solutions based on and focused on verticalized SMBs. So they are partnering up with business management solutions. For example, Pine, they just entered the Canadian market with a platform called House Procall, which is for home services SMEs. And they're offering verticalized embedded lending within those products. Same for Liberus as well. So I think we'll see more traction around this space this year in a big way as well. And then under the new innovations deck, if you've not heard of them yet, this is the second venture of Flink's founders. They're basically after open banking, they're now going after open data. So they are claiming this new product to actually get you access to any user permission data on the internet. So now earlier they were talking about utility data, but now they're saying any data on the internet. And not just in Canada, they're claiming to work in 30 plus countries overall. So that's a huge impact, and the kind of alternative data that now financial institutions could have access to could be a game changer in terms of credit adjudication and overall risk management in the financial space. Wealth management, I think Capintel and Conquest Planning, I don't have to talk about them. They've become these pet partners of choice in the industry, working with most of the big banks, working with most of the big wealth management players in the country. But one takeaway on wealth management side, if you just have to take one, I think it's this. So we are right now going through what is being referred to as succession tsunami. 76% of Canadian small businesses are planning to exit their business over next decade. So you can imagine the tribe. And they're calling it $2 trillion opportunity, but I think it's way bigger than that. And I don't know why it's not being talked about more and why the financial advisory, wealth management teams at big banks are not reaching out to their small business banking clients and checking how they can help and on the other hand, monetize this opportunity. But there are lots of fintechs that are out there that are building these succession matching platforms where businesses can list their platform, they can find a buyer. They provide advisory to ensure that the business is valued in the right way, the transaction goes out in a compliant manner, and so forth. But this report, this was put out by the Canadian Federation of Small Independent Businesses, and it mentioned that most of the businesses out of the 76%, they have no clue about how much their business is valued. So a lot of them are actually selling their businesses at a much, much lower valuation. And when I think about this, banks have so much data on their small business banking clients that they can probably enable a great way to help them find the right valuation for their businesses. So definitely a huge opportunity, and I don't think such a significant shift is going to come again, at least in the foreseeable future. And this is not just Canada. Same number for US is $84 trillion. And then I did more digging. Same is happening in Australia, India, China. So we are going through this great wealth transfer decade overall, and a huge opportunity for wealth management there. Ecosystems. Last year I talked in detail about this topic, but this is basically how financial institutions, other tech providers, fintechs, they're building these ecosystem products around financial services and payments. And we have these coming up both for small businesses, but also on the retail side of things as well. And banks are catching up on this. A lot of announcements from TD this year in terms of their ecosystem offerings for small businesses. One was them partnering with BigCommerce to launch an e-commerce storefront, very much in direct competition with Shopify. So interesting moves overall being made there. Owner, which is Business Registration Service by RBC, they gained a huge milestone this year, over 200 200K plus businesses that they're able to launch in the country since they were launched. But then from other players as well, like, I guess there was a good traction in terms of building ecosystem
friends.
But you know what? If you're working at a bank or credit union, I would say watch out for a sniper. What that means is your competition might be disguised or hidden right now. You wouldn't even know they're coming after your business. Last to last year, Apple launched their Apple Savings product in US and was only for people who had Apple credit card in the US market. First 4 days, they gained 1 billion in deposits. First 3 months, it was 10 billion in deposits in that savings account. And that's the record unmatched anywhere in the world. And I think will be for some time. But that's the kind of impact that these companies have. The instant adoption, because they already have stickiness with the customers. And that's why I call them sniper, because it's only about a matter of launching this one product, which could take a huge business away from the financial institutions. And it's not just financial institutions that we should look at. All the logos here, Twitter has been, or X now, has been making huge announcements in terms of their payment license and how they're getting into banking and financial services. So I think it's worth at least keeping a track of what's happening in other industries and how somebody might actually launch a product that might compete directly with your products and services. But I'm up for time, so I'm just going to take last minute to make some top predictions. Fraud and AML, I think it goes without saying, this year we see a lot of activity. Big Six will make, they've already announced huge budgets for this and will be heavily involved in this space. AI adoption, we've seen a lot of pilots over the last year for co-pilots for developers and certain internal use cases. But I think this year we'll move past that. We'll see some customer-facing products that are enabled by AI. Newcomer banking, as I said, because of the change in regulation, we're going to see a bit of a drop in partnerships this year. Ecosystems, I think it's gonna stick around, especially ecosystems around small businesses, mortgages, healthcare. We see more of rise in that. Consolidation in credit union space, again, I don't have to talk about that. I think we hear about two consolidations or credit union mergers every single month. So that's kind of huge. But I think banks need to take a notice, because these organizations that are merging, they're going to create some pretty competitive forces for the banks overall. They have a lot of resources as a combined organization, which they can spend on partnerships and innovation and new products. Big banks will start entering BaaS. I think that's going to start happening now. New banking license. Cobo or Santander, and Santander already got it, but Westrade and others will start to get. And lastly, globalization of Canadian fintech. We've seen a lot of fintechs enter Canada. That's going to continue. But also the Canadian fintechs, I think we are moving past an era where fintechs would get acquired very early on. I think we'll now see some giants that have been successful here and will now operate beyond Canada as well. But with that, I really hope, I'm sorry for taking a bit more time, but I hope this was insightful. And as I said, you'll have an opportunity to actually download this presentation. Well, I would say the best time to work with us was 4 years ago when we started, and we've made a huge impact. Some of the logos that I showed who have partnered and launched new products, we work very closely with them. And the kind of impact that we have made in the last 4 years at the Big Five or some of the top credit unions in the country has been tremendous. We would love to talk and share some of those insights with you. So if you want to get a copy of the presentation, just scan this QR code and my team is going to send the slides to you. And also, we'll send you some way to book the demos with us as well.